Good morning.
Hope everyone is doing well this Sunday morning and staying semi-cool. I thought we were going to have a little reprieve, but I don't think it's coming for a while longer. And I guess the Lord knows what we need, so we'll just keep dealing with it. Let's take just a few minutes and greet our neighbors. And if you see somebody that you've not seen before or don't remember seeing them before, like is the case with me and many times, let's greet everybody. Take a few minutes. We have several announcements this morning, and I just does anybody have any announcements this morning? Elizabeth.
Thank you.
of the Operation Christmas Child Shoeboxes. And I know it's 100 degrees outside. Nobody wants to think about Christmas. I could at my tree right now if I could. But we have a church goal, or we set a church goal of 100 shoeboxes for to send overseas. And I wanted to show a short video and then give you some more information on it.
I pray for the child who will receive my shoebox gift.
That my gift will put a smile on their face, will bring joy into their difficult life.
And most importantly, will bring them into a relationship with you, Jesus. Lord and Savior,
I want to see that child in heaven.
I pray these things
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Prayer, the key to the success of Operation Christmas Child. Since 1993, over 46 million shoeboxes have been sent to children living in 134 countries across the globe. Simple shoebox gifts brighten the faces of hurting children, victims of war, disease, and natural disaster. The gifts bring happiness and hope, becoming unforgettable memories, touching the hearts of precious children.
Operation Christmas Child, hooray!
Operation Christmas Child.
Merry Christmas.
You too.
Operation Christmas Child partners with national churches.
Jesus Christ came to save us.
Sharing the gospel through music and drama. Booklets printed in their own language illustrate the truth of God's word. Many children receiving shoeboxes participate in a Bible study program offered by Operation Christmas Child in partnership with the Mailbox Club. To date, over 1 million children have made decisions for Christ.
From the Big Apple.
To the nation's capital.
Along the banks of the Mississippi.
From the bayous of Louisiana.
To the plains of Kansas.
Even in the Rocky Mountains.
To the land of the Native Americans.
There are millions of us with one thing in common.
We love the five shoe boxes.
Countless families, schools, and churches understand the power of a simple shoebox.
Merry Christmas!
Operation Christmas Child wouldn't be possible without volunteers.
There are thousands and thousands of volunteers who come down here, who work, who give their time, who sort them, package them, get them in the right cartons, into the right boxes, and then they go by ship, they go by truck, they go by plane, camels, boats, you name it, they get there.
Thousands of gift boxes were given to children living in the Philippines. Cristioma lives in a rough area of Manila, where families are forced to live in crude structures that come within mere feet of railroad tracks.
I was very happy to open the box. This was the most wonderful gift I've ever gotten. When I read the gospel booklet, I realized God loves me very much, and I love Him very much too.
Shoeboxes have changed entire villages. After boxes were distributed in a remote Ukrainian village, the children and their parents were touched by these boxes of love. So much so that they began a church.
Because of these shoeboxes, many people have come to know Christ.
It's a very powerful message that God loves them. There is nothing that would give that assurance other than somebody far away packing a gift box to give to a child that they don't know anything about. It can only be God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's exciting to see what God can do with just a shoebox gift. When that gift is put into the hands of a child, the joy, the excitement, the smiles, I never get used to it. My heart is touched each and every time. But our hope and our prayer, of course, we want that child to know about the living God, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, these gifts can literally change not only a life, it can have an impact on a family and on an entire village. We need your help. We need your support. We do need your prayers, but we need your involvement. Get involved today with Operation Christmas Child. Get your church involved. Every box is important. Thank you. We need your involvement. God bless you. I'm Franklin Graham.
Brochures in the back if you're interested. October 21st is the day that we are going to put all the boxes together with Kids for Christ. We're meeting on a Sunday night to put them all together. If you would like to commit as a family or an individual to put boxes together, let me know, and that just kind of makes the numbers go down for the entire church. If you want to do more, we would be more than happy to send more than 100 boxes. But our goal is 100 boxes, and next week I will have a box in the vestibule for donations as well as monetary donations, and feel free to anytime during the week put things in there. I've already purchased 100 boxes of crayons to go in there. Right now it'll be time for school supplies, they're still out. So that would be something, you know, small to put in there, notepads, coloring books. So a lot of them had toys, some clothes. It is $7 a box to ship, so that is quite a bit of money. So we'd like to make a monetary donation, but we're not really worried about the money if you ship them. So, but it would be nice if you wanted to contribute to that. But if you have any questions, please see me after the service and here in Sunday school. And I just hope that you will join us in making 100 boxes for children all over the world. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Now it's time in our service for our call to worship. It is responsive, and you will find it in your bulletin. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him.
Pray your hymns now, if you will, please, to hymn 20. Let's stand and sing.
And the music was written in 1551. But I did make that choice myself. But it's a new song to us, except the tune is Old Hundred. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You that You hear us when we sing old songs as well as new. And Father, we thank You that we have not left that which has sustained Your people for generations, even centuries. Lord, Your word and the hope that we find in it. But we thank You, Lord, that we can come as a people and learn a song that's new to us. Thank You, Father, for sending Jesus, whom we sing about. And thank You, Lord, for revealing Yourself and that we sing about. And thank You for sending Your Holy Spirit. We sing about Him. Thank You for the privilege of worship, the call to come away from the busyness of the world and be quiet for a few moments and stand in your presence and know that you keep your promise to come and dwell with us. Lord, bless us, dwell with us through every aspect of this service that's planned for your honor and for your glory, and to share your word and to give people an opportunity to grow in you, and if they haven't trusted you, to trust you. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing and put your faith into words.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. Our prayer of confession is in unison. Please join me. It is in your bulletin. Almighty God, we are unworthy to come into your presence because of our many sins. We do not deserve any grace or mercy from you if you dealt with us as we deserve. We have sinned against you, O Lord, and we have offended you. And yet, O Lord, as we acknowledge our sins and offenses, so also do we acknowledge you to be a merciful God, a loving and favorable Father to all who turn to you. And so we humbly ask you, for the sake of Christ your Son, to show mercy to us and forgive us all our offenses. Forgive the sins of our youth and the sins of our old age. By your Spirit, O God, take possession of our hearts, so that not only the actions of our life, but also the words of our mouth and the smallest thought of our mind may be guided and governed by you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear.
Let's turn our hymnals to hymn 342. little more familiar hymn, just as I am. And let's sing 1, 3, and 5. 1, 3, and 5.
Me this week and just remind me that I was singing, and I emailed her back and said I would, told her what I was going to sing, and I said the congregation at the morning service is probably sick of this song, but I love it, and I'm so thankful that whatever I do, His eye's on me. Now that's not always a comforting thought, but I do know that He cares about me, and He watches over me, and He watches over you, and it's such a wonderful thought for today.
Discouraged. Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I see because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubt and fear. I draw thee closer to thee, from care He set me free, for His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for His love is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me, for His eye is on the sparrow.
I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for us. Would our ushers please come forward?
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy breath.
Said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Word of God for the people of God.
We've had a few technical difficulties this morning. Part of it is lack of understanding on my part. Some of the technical issues, and forgive me. We have two things that you may not know, that one is rejoicing. Daniel and Noel Baker have a new daughter, so Pam and Jim have a new granddaughter. I believe it's Ashley Grace Baker. And she is at Stonecrest. She was born at Stonecrest. And then, a not so happy note, Doc MacArthur failed, and he is in the hospital, or was yesterday, and that's Sarah Prosser's father, as some of you may not know. And so lift up the new baby and the mother and the father and the grandparents, and then Doc MacArthur's family and him. He's 93, I believe, and I think he dehydrated. I can't get my screen working as quick, and so I was dragging my feet, I guess, before the service or something. I want to talk about growing as Christians. And for the past few weeks, last week we talked about growing as Christians by feeding on the Word. And we came this morning singing about the Word of God being food for us, and rightly so, for our spirits. And this morning I want us to talk about prayer. Prayer being a part of our growth as Christians. Hopefully, we want to grow. We talked last week about graduation not being the end of our education, graduation from high school, or even from maybe a master's degree or a PhD or a THD or EDD or some kind of advanced degree. We wouldn't want that to be the end. We were getting ready to do something else. And prayer is part of our relationship with God. Actually, it gives us our new relationship with God through Jesus Christ, or our salvation experience, gives us the right to come boldly before the throne of grace praying. Sometimes we come like John Knox did. You notice that was a 1500 prayer by John Knox that we use for our confession. And I discovered these prayers the other day. Prayers of confession. I'm always looking for something out of history for the prayers of confession, and found a number of them, and John Knox was one of them. And so we printed that this morning, and you know, he taught us through that prayer to even confess concerning our smallest thoughts. That was part of his growth, and through that he is helping us to grow. But I hope to urge through this sermon you people, God's people, to grow in your relationship to him and his son through prayer. If we are a friend with somebody, we often would communicate with them. And if we never communicate with them, we would probably say about them, well, we used to be pretty close, but we never talk anymore. And so we need to remember this in our talking with God, not just to God. I'm careful to remind people, and forget myself, to remind myself that our talking, our prayer, is not just talking to God, but it's talking with God. Why did this disciple come to Jesus and ask him to teach them, the disciples, to pray? Well, you know, I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe he just had a whim. You know, a random thought came to him. Maybe God planted the question in his mind. That's a little speculation on both of them, right? And preachers, I guess, do a lot of speculation. And maybe it was because he, this disciple, had observed John and his disciples. See, John the Baptist had some students before Jesus had some students. And John was teaching them, those students, about preaching, I'm sure. And this is evidence that he was teaching these students about prayer, about praying to God. We don't know just what John taught them to pray for, John the Baptist, but it said John taught his disciples to pray. And it could be that since John had taught his disciples to pray, and since two of Jesus' disciples were formerly disciples of John. We find that in the Gospel of John. If you want a proof text of this, I didn't just come up with that. John chapter 1, verse 35 and following. Andrew, one of Jesus' disciples, is named as having been one of John's disciples. We're not sure who it was that came and asked him to teach, but as John taught his disciples, so if it had been Andrew, likely he would have said, John taught us to pray. Now what do you say about praying? Maybe Andrew had even said to this other disciple, speculation again, imagination, but maybe he had said to him, I may want to walk this morning. Maybe he had said to him, John taught us to pray. Jesus is coming up short here. He hadn't taught us to pray yet. Somebody needs to ask him to. Don't know that he said that, but that's a possibility. You know, if some other preacher does something, well, we'll talk about that in a moment, or some other church does something, we hear about it, and that's good, and it helps us to know what others are doing, because we don't get to go. But Andrew, John chapter 1, verse 40, says that Andrew was one who had been a disciple of John. Maybe, just maybe, more speculation, and can we go to another slide? Yeah. Maybe this disciple felt the rest were missing out. We know how to pray, but what about the rest of our disciples? Maybe they had not seen them praying. Maybe they had not observed them going off. Or maybe when they were called upon to pray, they would say, pardon me, let somebody else do it. Or when they were in the circle to pray, we say, what do we say? If you don't feel like praying audibly, this is okay too. If you don't feel like praying out loud in our circle of prayer, just say amen, or squeeze, if you're holding hands, squeeze the hand of the person next to you, right? You'll tell them whichever way the circle is going. Have you participated in a situation like that? And maybe you, at that particular time, did not feel like vocalizing your prayer. And so, that time, it would be just a time that you needed to pray just between you and God. And so, when they got to you, or the circle got to you, you'd just squeeze that person's hand and move on. And maybe they had this one disciple, maybe he had seen one particular, maybe three particular disciples that never led us in prayer. And maybe he thought, they're missing out on something. Maybe they don't know how to pray. Jesus, why don't you teach us all to pray? John taught his disciples to pray. Now this touched on that is often that someone will request us or suggest that we might do something that they've seen in another church. Now, sometimes we can and sometimes we can't. Now, bringing greased pigs in, I can't. Snakes slip in here, but we don't encourage them. Levin wants to play with snakes in church, I think, but he keeps tearing on about it. But he even helps us get rid of them. And we had a little bitty green snake not too long ago. Who was that found that? Oh, Diane. Diane Riggs found the little green snake. And let Bill know, would I please get that out? I don't believe that's in my training. I can't even find it in my contract for things that I was not trained to do, that I would do. Other responsibilities. But I got him out anyway. Little green one. Maybe he was just wanted to visit. Maybe he, nah, we don't play with him, I don't. But it's often someone will request something that we might do. And and some things we can. I believe that as I reflected back, some things that we've been requested to do is provide an outline in the bulletin for a sermon. And I think it was Gordon McCandless went to church somewhere else, and they came back and they brought me a bulletin. Does anybody, about half of us remember Gordon, right? Maybe not that many. But a number of us remember Gordon. And they went to church down in Atlanta somewhere where their children were attending. And they came back and he brought me a sermon outline. Maybe it was fill in the blanks. Some preachers do the fill in the blanks. And he said, this might help me. And I didn't do it then, but later I did. If you ever start something, you can't stop. You know that? And I'm going to pick on Peggy. It's okay to sing that song every other Sunday at least, okay? It touched me. I was thinking that, and then Kim got up and said the very thing I was thinking. That one you can sing. You know, if we just think about it, we need to be reminded that God is watching over us. Sometimes we forget that. Okay? And we use cuss words instead of prayer words, don't we? Or some people do. But anyhow, I think Peggy said, they had just started coming to the church here, and she said that, you may not remember this, but that said, I really like that outline. So if you don't like the outline, it's probably Gordon's fault. He's dead and gone to heaven, and you can blame him and tell him when you get there how that you don't like it. And then we kept doing it. I'd say, well, I really have to do an outline this Sunday. Well, Peggy likes it, and she's going to be there in that spot, and I'm going to do it. So I've been doing it for you for how many years? 4 or 5 years. 3 or 4 years. Okay. So sometimes we're asked to do something. Guess what? We can do it. That's one of the things. Jesus responded first by a model of prayer. Folks, it's 8:59, and I've been urged to get through by 9 o'clock every Sunday. But a model of prayer. You have an outline there with you. Slide 5, yes. Jesus responded to the request for a model of prayer. Look at the Lord's Prayer. All you've got to do for your homework is to go home and look at the Lord's Prayer. And it is, he also taught concerning this model of prayer, how important prayer was in daily life. About even getting bread from a neighbor when you're hungry and you got guests coming in, you don't have anything to feed them. The second thing that I see him saying in here, he gave some details about prayer. Don't just go on and on and on with these flowery words on the street corner to impress people. Let it be a thing between you and God. And that might even be interpreted that we shouldn't pray publicly. But maybe we cannot. Maybe in church it's okay to pray publicly. And maybe in the restaurant it's okay to pray publicly. If we don't stop everybody and say, now y'all listen while I pray. Now they may not want to. That's their choice. Okay. Matthew 6:14-15, if you want to make a note. Matthew 11:25. These show the importance of forgiveness and how our forgiving others is related to the success of our prayer when we ask for forgiveness. And it goes, it stresses over and over, Mark 11, Matthew 11, if we don't, Matthew 6, if we don't forgive those who have offended us, we can't expect God to forgive us. And that is what Jesus taught us when he taught us to pray for forgiveness. He gave us that outline of prayer, honoring God, glorifying God, recognizing who God is, bowing before him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You are holy. We know who you are, God. You're different than us. You're high above us. Your ways are not our ways, etc., etc., etc. Then Matthew 18, another one about prayer, stresses the importance of forgiveness. Peter was told by Jesus, if your brother offends you, forgive him 490 times. It was really 7 times 70, but I can multiply 70. What to pray about? The model is there. Glory to God. Prayer for God's kingdom. Pray for daily necessities. We could pray for rain. Might be a good thing. Don't hurt a bit. Pray for rain today. Confess and ask forgiveness for sin. And pray for protection from the evil one. Lord, protect me from that evil one. The importance of prayer in the growth process of a Christian. And I have listed for you all of these verses. And may I give you a homework assignment and encourage you to do that. See, that person, Gordon, suggested an outline will give you something that you can take home
and take home and use as you look up all of those verses, the importance of prayer in the growth process.
I want to sing about prayer, and I want to sing the second verse of In the Garden. The songwriter is talking about going to the garden and to pray with Jesus. Walking with Jesus. Communing with Jesus. And I want us to stand together and sing verse 2 of, what's it, 475? 425. 425. And just think about our time of prayer. And maybe you would have a public response. And that is invited. That is appropriate if you do. As we sing, verse 2. God, thank you. Thank you for inviting us to pray. Thank you for sending Jesus to teach us specifically how you would have us pray. And Lord, we have so many other examples of your dedicated, devoted people that we can go to and find how they approached you. Thank you for praying. And a relationship with you that we can approach your throne boldly. In Christ's name, amen.
Speculated so much this morning.